And welcome back to Speak Up Las Cruces. For the next half hour, we're going to be talking about the county assessor race. We have the incumbent, Gina Montoya Ortega, and challenger, Shannon Reynolds. And I was just informed that there's a third candidate in this race, Ruben Reyes, who I missed. And that's totally my fault, as I was sending out the invitations, looking at the Secretary of State website. So I will reach out to Mr. Reyes and offer him the opportunity to come on at a later date. With that all out of the way, thank you both so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Gina, I'll let you go first. Since you are the incumbent, can you talk just a little bit for people who may not be familiar about the assessor and what that person does, just a little bit about the position and about what you've done in the past term to try to make things better for the people here in Doñana County?
Okay, so thanks, Walt. So my name is Gina Eugenia Montoya Ortega, and I am the current assessor. What the assessor's office does is we actually value all property in Doñana County. And I am the assessor that I'm about valuing fair and equitably. Everybody should pay their fair share. Nobody should be paying more than they should, and nobody should be paying less than they should. So we've worked very, very hard on this in the past. So when I ran originally 3 years ago, I knew that that wasn't the case. I knew that there was probably situations where people were not being valued fairly, and that's what I ran on. And sure enough, when we went in there, we did find some stuff. We had some people that were not on the tax rolls or whatever the case may have been. So we've been working very, very hard to correct that. It does take time. I thought, 4 years, we can do this.
Yeah,
it's going to take time. I barely got people on board. As it is, it's hard for the staff. You know, a newly elected, you know, somebody comes in, new ideas. It's difficult for them. And so I would say for the most part, everybody is on board, is on, hey, we're about to do the right thing. And we've had people that have been there, maybe weren't doing things the way that they should have. We're getting them to be empowered that, you know, you do know what you need to do now. Let's do the right thing. So that's what the assessor does. And so we've been working very, very hard. I would like 4 years to finish what I started. I am a person that if I start something, I want to finish it. I don't quit in the middle.
And Shannon Reynolds, you gave up or stepped down from your position on the county commission, in part, I think you said at the time, because that allowed you to run for this position. So can you talk about a little bit about that decision and what you would like to do with the position if you were to be elected?
Thank you, Walt and Nancy. I appreciate it. Thank you guys for having us this morning. Yes, I did. Looking at the state constitution, it says that if you serve two full terms in any county office, and you have to wait 2 years in order to run for another office. However, by resigning at the end of last year, I didn't actually serve out two full terms, which allowed me to be qualified to run for this office. My reason for running for the office is that we have some challenges with the assessor's office that have been there for a long time. And it's really difficult, as Gina has actually pointed out, to actually overcome all of those in 4 years. It takes time to do that. But the reason I'm running is because I see the assessor's office as having the ability to help us with some of our consistent problems in the county, i.e. low-income housing, affordable housing, I should say, actually recruiting businesses, you know, and making sure they're profitable. And if we just go out and say, look, you owe money and pay us, you know, without trying to understand how that impacts our overall challenges in the county, I think that that's kind of a naive way to do it. And so I believe that I'd like to work on some legislation, which is already being passed or actually presented at the state, to allow the reassessment values of, let's say, commercial property. If I reassess your property, since it hasn't been done since 2008, and I take you from like $100,000 to say $500,000 with current policy, then they immediately go paying five times more for taxes. And the legislation that's been presented at the state says that if, in fact, we pass that, the incremental difference between $100,000 and say $500,000 will actually increase at 5% a year over time. This is the same as the way we do individual property taxes. If I reassess your property to be go from $100,000 to $400,000 because of, you know, what the sales price are for homes, then as an individual, a homeowner, your increase only goes up by 3% a year. So you're not directly impacted immediately. And I believe that this is the ability for us to actually do two things. One is to help new companies get started in business when they buy property from somebody who used to have it at like $100,000 and now they're going to is valued, you paid $400,000 for it. Yes, we are supposed to go right straight to $400,000, but if we had policy at the state level to say, look, new company, first 5 years, there are challenges. They need as much revenue as they can in order to get on their feet. I think we can put some policy at the state level to allow us to actually implement it that way and recruit more companies, help them be more successful in the first 5 years, and also to create more jobs. So I believe there's an overall impact that the assessor's office can have that we haven't looked at, and that's what my goal is.
And Gina, how do you respond to that? Do you think that you've been looking at that, assessor's office?
Yes, ma'am. And I'm glad that you are giving me the opportunity to respond to that, because unfortunately, that is not the assessor's office responsibility. There is nothing we can do to help with low-income housing. There is nothing that we can do to recruit businesses. That is not our job. Our job is to assess all property in Doniana County. Mr. Reynolds did bring up that there is some legislation that there are the commercial property owners that do believe that they should have a cap on their property. So anybody that owns a home in Doniana County, we know that we have a 5% cap. A 3% cap. Mm-hmm. Our property taxes cannot increase more than 3%. And the reason that this was initially initiated was to keep people in their homes, because if not, we would be like California, Colorado. My son lives in Colorado Springs. Last year, his property taxes doubled. His house is worth over $1 million. He's like, there is no way. This year, it went up even more. So that's the purpose of the 3% cap. New Mexico is a non-disclosure state, a partial non-disclosure state. So when you sell your personal residence, you fill out an affidavit that is turned into the assessor's office that we actually use to help set the market in that area. That is not public information. You are obligated by state statute to submit that affidavit so that we can know what the homes are selling for in the county, in the state, so that we can set the market. Now, well, maybe you actually have a $700,000 home, right? Maybe you have in the same neighborhood a $500,000 home, but in that neighborhood, the houses are probably like on an average, the market for that area is you obviously overpaid for your home and you probably overpaid, right? So the purpose of the, your market is probably going to put you in about like the $300,000 to $400,000. Your home is not going to be valued at the $700,000 that you actually paid for it, because that's not the true market in Doniana County. Okay. So like how Mr. Reynolds brought up that the commercial property owners would like a 5% cap. The commercial property owners, they do not disclose when they sell their business. It's a big mystery. We have no idea. Maybe you own this building here and you sell it to Miss Nancy over here. You don't have to disclose to me what you sold that for. So you're an income producing property. So a 5% cap is not going to help the state. It's going to hurt the whole state.
And just to be clear, that's different than if I sell my home.
Yes. Okay. Because when you sell your home, like I said, you are required to fill out an affidavit and turn that into the assessor's office so that we know what the market is in that neighborhood.
Okay.
Commercial property, it's a mystery. It's a secret. I don't know what you sold it for. And they don't want to share that. Right. So what we have to do is we actually have a company that the assessor's office uses, and they actually reach out to the commercial property owners all over the United States. And the commercial property owners will share information to them as long as they do not disclose to us who they are or where they are. So we have this company that shares information. It'll just say, hey, we have a commercial property that sold in this part of Las Cruces. It's like trying to find a needle in the haystack. That would even be easier. But that kind of gives us an idea of what the market is for New Mexico. So we as an assessor's affiliate, we are against this cap for commercial property owners. As it is with a 3% cap, New Mexico is so far behind, we will never catch the true market because of that 3% increase. We will never be at what the value of a property should be. But the purpose was to keep people in their homes. Now, when you have a commercial property owner that they're income producing, and you want to give them a 5% cap, that's going to kill the state. We actually started working with them a year before last, because we as an assessor's affiliate, there's all 33 assessors in all the state of New Mexico that have come together and said, that's not going to happen. It'll kill the state. And so we actually started working with them to try to maybe come up with an agreement. They actually sat at the table and they were like, okay, fine, go ahead and you can increase this 25% this year, and maybe the next year we'll settle for 15%. Next year we'll settle for 10%. And then the next so many years, you can only increase them 5%. This is an income producing property. This is a totally different animal than somebody in their home. As an assessor's affiliate, yes, we're about fair and equitable. But you know what? When you are not disclosing what you are selling for, then there is no way to play a fair game with a commercial their property owners.
Shannon, do you have a response to that?
Well, thanks, Nancy. You know, I've thought about this as well, and I believe there's, if they offered to do like 50% the first year, 25% the next year, 15% and 5%, well, see, that's kind of the same concept. And the question, it sounds like it's not a question of whether we should figure out a way to gradually, you know, increase their taxes. It sounds like it's just a different process. And my belief is that if we stop and look at holistically at what our challenges are in the state, okay, our challenges are jobs. Our challenges are, you know, opportunities there. Our challenges are affordable housing. And the assessor's office can play a role in that. Now, to say that we don't really, in my opinion, that we really don't care that income-producing properties have to pay 5 times or 10 times more, you know, than, you know, other company or other people or individuals when they get reassessed on their property, I think it's kind of a dim view of what we can possibly do to help the gross domestic product grow in the state. I mean, if you think about it, a new company starts out, and let's say you've got property we have right down on El Paseo, you know, that used to be worth, you know, $500,000, probably because of the lack of development there, is worth maybe, you know, $100,000. So now we've decreased the value of the property, but a new company going in there, are they going to be assessed at the $500,000 in a zone where it's, you know, there's no business going on right now in North Grove, or are they going to be assessed $100,000? Well, it used to be $500,000, so a new business is going to go in there, try to pay taxes at that rate, and for the first 5 years, they're going to struggle. And we all know that is the lifetime of a new business without some sort of help or a really good model. Mm-hmm. So if we can alleviate some of the burden on companies as they need to grow, and also recognize the fact that we haven't reassessed those properties since 2008, once we get caught up on that, I mean, it's going to go up by 300%, 400%, 500%. It's going to be quite a burden, even on an existing business. So I think even though they are income producing properties, I think we are also obligated to look at them and say, how can we partner? How can we create a win-win situation so that everybody benefits? Sure, we want to get them there, but do we want to get them there, you know, and one fell swoop, I should call it, or one fell swoop, you know? So I'm thinking that we need to take a look at it and see how we directly can impact some of our problems in the county and in the state. Okay. And we can put some effort toward that.
I know there's a lot you want to respond to there.
Yes, for sure. So once again, the assessor's office, I'm about jobs and affordable housing, but unfortunately, that's not the assessor's job. That is what maybe the commission should have been doing. Maybe the legislator should be doing, but that is not what the assessor's office is. We are not about to let's go and target our business owners. I'm a business owner. My husband and I have a business on Valley Drive. I understand what it is to be a business owner. We are not targeting business owners, but they should pay their fair share. You know, and when you want to say that you're going to give them a 5% cap, I'm sorry. You know, and it was really, really strange. So like I said, we brought this, you know, they were wanted to work with us. We went with them. It was a year before last. So in last year's legislation, they tried to bring it. It got killed right out the gate. But an amazing 30-day session this year, they were able to bring it to the table. They have a lot of people with a lot of money that are wanting to do this. And the state cannot afford to do this. It's about making them pay their fair share. Also, Mr. Reynolds did bring up that, well, you know, the properties have not been reassessed since 2008. So what he's talking about is we as a county are statutorily obligated to it used to be every 2 to 4 years, you actually had to do a full reappraisal on the whole county. Okay, boots on the ground, you touch every parcel, you make sure that everything is on the books as it should be. Obviously, this is prior to me coming in. This is another reason that when I ran, I knew that things were not being done fairly. So I went, as the assessor's office, I'm the only department that has two budgets. I have a 1% budget, so basically 1% of all the property taxes that are collected goes to my budget, my 1% budget. Then I also have a general budget like every other department in the county should have. Unfortunately, over the past 10, 15 years, these two budgets have commingled. I do not have a 1%. That 1% money should roll over every year. My office has been funded by that 1%. It became the assessor's office general budget. I have been fighting with the county and the Board of County Commissioners since I started day one. I said, I don't have a 1%. I need that 1% so that I can do that boots on the ground reappraisal. state statutorily obligated every year. I have to do an annual report to the BOCC, basically telling you this is where our office is, this is what we're doing, this is what our staffing looks like, this is what we've been doing throughout the year, so that they can see what the assessor's office is up to, right? Then I actually have my 1% so that when I want to do a reappraisal, that money is earmarked strictly for reappraisal only. The office, the county has been misusing that money. I went to the BOCC. I got their feathers a little ruffled, right? When I went and I asked, hey, I need this money so that I could do a reappraisal. And unfortunately, I said there was a commissioner that is in this room that was able to help me get that push, and I didn't have any support. They all shot me down. So to talk about that, you know, we have not had a reappraisal since 2008, and I had somebody that could have helped me and they didn't. And I just, even yesterday, we went to do our annual report to the BOCC. It was not a good meeting. They shut us down again. They didn't even want to hear what we had to say. They did not let me do my statutory obligation to do my annual report to the BOCC, basically just saying, hey, this is 25. This is what we've done. These are the parcels that we've touched. This is the increases that we did, you know, and then we actually did reach out to, we've been working to get an RFI, request for information, so that I can do a boots on the ground reappraisal. But I don't have the money. A boots on the ground, I had got a rough estimate a year before last on probably what this would run me. And it was about $4 million. Well, I can want all that I want, but if I don't have the money to go pay for it, how can I do it? So we are in the process, hopefully this year. I'm trying to work with finance, trying to get my two budgets sorted out, you know, as they should be, so that that money can accumulate so that we can do a boots on the ground reappraisal. Because once again, if we're not appraising fairly and equitably, that's less money for the schools. We know that when they went to a new CAMA system in 2016, which is our computer aided mass appraisal system, when they went to that new system in 2016, the person that was in charge at that time did not request that all the data to be transferred from one system to the other. So when that happened, a lot of the outbuildings were dropped. So we know there's a lot of stuff that's out there that is not picked up, that the way that we're going to pick this up is with a mass reappraisal program.
Okay.
Shannon, you're going to inherit that situation if you were fortunate enough to win the election. What's your response to all of that?
Well, first thing, Eugenia said, some of that is actually very correct.
Yeah.
And that is that there has been misappropriation and misassociation of the 1% with actually running the office and not just dedicated to doing reassessments. And that's been happening for quite some time. So that's true. I think we estimated there was something like $14 million that was reallocated from that budget into another budget inappropriately. However, to get that money back is a challenge, and she's correct about that. What I also think is, you know, it's my understanding, and being on the board, she did present some things to the county and to the commissioners. I think the biggest challenge that we have is trying to see what the plan is and how the money's going to be used. And we've struggled to be able to understand the plan that's been presented to do that. And you're right, I would be inheriting a real problem, and it's going to take some time. We've got the state auditor that's currently going through the department, as well as other departments in the county. And he's supposed to be finished with his audit by the end of May, going to present to the county what the recommendations are for that office and that department. And he's also has some monies and resources in order to help us get back on track. And so, like as Eugenio did point out, it's hard to do that all by yourself without all the resources that you need in the office. And having the state auditor jump in on board and help us out with it, plus the state, tax and revenue, there's a probability we'll be able to get ahead of it, but it's going to take some time. The other thing we have a struggle with right now is we have a lack of people. I mean, we're understaffed in the office, and we have been, I think, most of the time. So we've got to get the people back on.
Just to be clear, when you say understaffed in the office, do you mean the assessor's office?
I'm talking about the assessor's office. Yeah.
Okay.
In the assessor's office, I believe that there's a lot of people who have retired. A lot of people have gone. Some of the expertise that we had before is now no longer there. So that's going to be a challenge.
Well, this may be and probably is oversimplistic, but if that money was misallocated, why don't you just allocate it correctly? If there was never a conscious decision made to transfer that money, it was just misallocated. I understand taking it away from whoever's spending it now is going to be a problem.
It's not exactly whoever's spending it now, because the money's still being spent for the department. But the challenge is, it's like Eugenia said, there was a budget for operations, and then there's a budget for reassessments.
Yeah.
And the money between the budget for reassessments and the budget for operations got commingled. And so that was a decision made by previous leadership, and nobody's actually gone and sorted that out yet. And it's my understanding that, excuse me, the current commission is trying to understand exactly how that money is going to be used and how it's going to actually overcome the challenge we have of being behind by 18 years. And I don't think that a good solid plan has been presented to the commission about that yet. So I think that's where they're at. It's more about trying to understand what's going to happen. I think the best thing to do is to see what the auditor has to say about how we can get ahead of this, mm-hmm. and take their recommendations and move forward. But hiring staff is a real challenge right now. You need people, you need qualified people, and that's going to take some time.
Tina?
Oh, yeah. So I'd like to respond to that as well. So, yeah, it's approximately, when I did the math, it was about $14 million. I have asked. I know that the county has a plethora of money. They have a pool larger than they need to have. So I think that $14 million needs to be put back so that we can do a reappraisal project. As far as, you know, even like that there's a plan and that they don't understand. So we actually had met with legal and with the county manager to try to make them understand, you know, this is what the reappraisal project entails. We were all on board. Yeah, they were all happy. We had finance there. Okay, yay, they understood. We did this, I believe it was last year. The years have gone by really fast. We went to a work session. And at that work session, we brought up that this is what the reappraisal, oh my God, it turned into a three-ring circus. It was like all these questions. It was like they weren't even willing to listen to what we were trying to present, right? Because all their focus is like, well, what benefit does this have to the county? And what is the county going to get out of it? It's like, I am statutorily obligated to do this, whether or not the county gets one penny or we lose money. This is my obligation through state statute. And we knew we were going to find revenue. We said, we know there's revenue out there. We know that those outbuildings had been dropped. Mm-hmm. We know we're going to pick up that revenue. But they were so focused on, this is not for us to gain money. This is something that I am obligated to do by state statute. And they have not assisted me to help my obligations. And then, you know, as Mr. Reynolds said, that the state auditor's here, whether or not, you know, whatever that is the case, he also brought up that, you know, the state auditor has mentioned that there is money. Yes, there's money. There's money that the state can help with the reappraisal, but that, you know, that's like me asking for welfare and I'm still gaining my assessor's salary. Why? The place that money should come from is from the county. We had that reappraisal money. We should not be asking the state for that money. Because the way that works, there is that program, but what you do is you borrow it from the state, but you have to pay it back. I'm sure with interest and stuff, just like everything else. There's no need to do that. We should have that money. As far as lack of the people, we have been short-staffed. It is hard to find people. I've had a hard time working with HR. I actually have a new rep. She's been really, really great. She's been helping me get my people, my office filled. I have been picky, you know, the way that sometimes the county does stuff, I don't agree. I mean, if I have a supervisory position, I think you should have some supervisory experience. And I don't think that's necessarily the case all the time. So I am being picky. I don't want just, you know, anybody that walks in and, you know, this department, it's a very important department. We have a very important role. You know, like I tell people, I think we're the most important department in the county. And not because I work there, but because we never have a downtime. You know, the elections, the clerk has the elections, they do their elections, yay, they're done. You know, the treasurer sends out their bills, they collect the money, yay, they're done. We don't have that. You know, we go into straight from, we're getting ready to send out notices of value. They'll go out Friday. Once the notices of value come out, then the next month, protests. As soon as we do protests, and it's actually doing the hearings, and then starting to value again.
Did you just get a phone call?
Yeah, I did, but it can wait.
Okay. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah, so real, real quick. No, that's great. Like I said, it's like we have tried to work with the commission. They wanted me to go to another work session. I refused to do that. I'm not going to go in there and create another three-ring circus. We didn't accomplish anything. It was embarrassing for them. It was embarrassing for me. I'm not going to do that again. You know, we're adults and we should be able to, you know, I'm the subject matter expert if that's the case.
Well, we are down to our last minute. Boy, I want to give you both an opportunity. If people want to learn more about your campaigns, is there a place they can go? Anything like that?
A website,
anything like that?
Campaign?
Yes, I do. I have a website. It's called Elect Shannon. I have to look it up. I forget. anyway, it's like shannonforassessor.com.
And very quickly, my apologies once again to Mr. Reyes. I will be getting in touch with you, and we will try to set up that interview. That was entirely my fault, so I apologize for that. I want to thank both of you so much for joining us. Once
really
again.
Really quick, can I share my, I don't have anywhere that they can reach out to me. My email is euortega00@comcast.net. My phone number is 575-644-7863.